A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
The scene fades into a background of green grass. View slowly zooms in. The grass begins to move and shift. Then the screen goes dark. Title: In the Tall Grass.
Oh, it's all right.
Now a bright sunny day, a narrow road cuts through acres of green fields. A single car approaches from far away.
Long as I know that you love me, honey, it's all right.
Close-up of a woman's brown eyes as she looks out at the road, it's then an aerial view of the car driving between the endless fields of green.
It's all right, honey, it's all right. Long as I know, long as
a view of the car from the road, then inside, a brunette woman is in the passenger seat. She strokes her pregnant belly as she reads a book. A man with short hair and glasses is driving. The woman's eyes move to her left. Close-up of the man's face. He noisily eats a fast-food burger as he drives.
I think I'm getting nauseous.
Are you going to throw up? You want me to pull over?
He pulls the car over across from a small church. She opens her door and vomits.
Here's some water. Here.
She wipes her mouth and accepts the water bottle. She rinses her mouth and spits.
You okay?
Shouldn't I be over morning sickness by now?
I mean, every woman's body is different, right?
Oh yeah, what do you know about women's bodies?
Not enough. You're not worried, are you?
No. Just thinking.
What? What? What?
Maybe we should go back.
We're halfway to San Diego.
I know. I know. It's just been hard to know for sure. Dad must think I'm an idiot.
Look, Beck, I know it's not in your nature to put yourself first, but in this case, I don't think you should take Mom and Dad's feelings into account. I don't think you should take my feelings into account. I don't think you should even take the baby's needs into account. Okay? This is about you.
Listen, I have another 1,500 miles to decide, right?
Right. Let's just get back on the road and not worry about
anything. Did you hear that?
Hear what?
Becky looks out her window, an aerial view of the tall grass. The grassy field stretches to the horizon.
Hello? Is someone out there?
Close-up of the tall grass. Becky turns to her brother.
Sounds like he's really in trouble.
Okay. Better haul him out.
Becky gets out of the car.
It's really hot.
Careful, don't slide down into that ditch. Watch your arm. I'm gonna pull this thing off the side of the road.
He closes her door and drives the car across the road. He parks it next to the church. Becky stands at the edge of the road looking into the thick grass, which is taller than she is. A light breeze moves Becky's hair, as well as the tips of the grass.
Kid! Hey, kid, can you hear me? Yes! Help me! I've been stuck in here for days!
She takes a few steps closer to the grass.
Hello? What's going on?
We're lost! Please help!
Her brother joins her.
There's a woman in there with them. She's being weird.
Where are you? Are you coming?
Kid, you're right next to us. Can you see the road?
No! I can't see anything!
He's right there.
Cal, wait!
Captain Cal, to the rescue! Da-da-da.
He enters the grass. Close-up of Becky's face. She moves to the edge of the field. Holding her cell phone, she slowly takes one step onto the soil, then another. Meanwhile, Cal moves deeper into the field.
Kid, we're coming! Where are you?
Over here!
Cal, wait!
Slow down!
Becky makes a call while pushing the grass aside with her other hand.
Hello?
Okay, Tobin, listen to me. Just stick tight, we're gonna come to you.
Hi, I'm on Route 400. I don't know the name of the town, but there's a kid lost in the grass. Fuck.
Becky stops and looks around.
Cal?
She pushes further into the grass. The view moves several yards to her right, where Cal is pushing his way through the grass in the opposite direction.
Kid! Kid, where are you?
He trudges onward through thick mud.
Kid! Becky! Becky!
I'm fine. I left the 911 chick. Is your phone working?
No, I left my phone in the car. And my glasses. Tobin!
Are you coming? Please, keep coming. I can't find you.
Kid, you sound like you're headed for Nebraska. Stay still. I don't care how scared you are. Don't move. Let us come to you. Becky! Becky, where the hell are you?
Becky's footsteps.
I'm right here.
Becky looks around.
Cal? Something's not right about this. I think we should head back to the road.
What about the kid and his mom?
Let's just get back together first. I'll keep talking and you work your way back towards me, okay?
All right, good idea.
Overhead view of Becky.
Okay, start talking.
What do you talk about when you're lost in a field?
Thousands of miles of gabbing, you can't think of anything to say?
There once was a guy named McSweeney who spilled some gin on his weenie.
Just to be couth, he added vermouth and flipped his girl a martini.
Oh, that's charming.
Cal keeps moving.
Hey, you guys, are you looking for me? I'm scared.
Yes, hang on. Becky! Becky, keep talking.
There once was a woman named Jill who swallowed an exploding pill.
They found her vagina in North Carolina.
Stop. I overshot you somehow.
He stops.
Cal, quit fucking around. This isn't funny.
He looks to his right.
Becky?
Yeah?
He looks to his left.
You're right. There's something wrong here.
Becky.
All right, let's just do this. On the count of three, we both jump with our hands raised in the air.
Can you jump?
I can jump. What do you think?
Cal.
I think you're gonna have a baby this summer. That's what I think.
Becky.
Cal, stop walking away!
I didn't move.
Yeah, you did. You must have. You still are.
I'm not. I swear I'm not.
Okay, just forget it. Let's just do this.
Alright. Ready?
Hey.
1, 2, 3.
They raise their arms and jump. They are a few yards apart.
You're
you're close.
One more time. All right.
This time, Becky does not see Cal. Her eyes widen. She lands on her seat and holds her belly. Cal.
This is nuts! This is fucking nuts! Becky!
Overhead view.
Becky!
Cal races through the grass.
Becky!
He frantically shoves the grass aside as he runs.
Back! Back!
Over here!
Becky!
Cal trips and falls face down in mud. He raises his head. His eyes widen in shock. A close-up of blood on a blade of grass. Cal scrambles to his feet. He shoves the grass aside, revealing the corpse of a dog surrounded by a swarm of flies. The name Freddy is on the dog's tag. Cal jumps back, landing on his seat.
Cal, are you okay? What is it?
Nothing! I just slipped!
He gets to his feet.
I'm getting a little freaked out here. What are we gonna do?
Becky.
We're gonna get out of here. We just need to keep our heads.
What about the kid?
Forget the kid. This is about us now.
A view of the field. The sun is lower in the sky. The view moves down between the blades of tall grass, where it is now dimly lit by the late day sun. The view within the grass slowly turns 360 degrees.
Cal?
Becky, holding her belly with one hand, moves slowly.
Cal?
Look back and stay where you are, okay? Don't move. Save your voice. I'm gonna come to you.
Becky stops. She slowly lowers herself to the ground. She looks up at the pale orange sky and sees a jet stream streak across.
Becky! Back!
She stands up.
Cal?
Back!
Cal!
A man parts the grass in front of her.
Hi there. You all right?
Becky, you there?
There's a man here.
It's okay, Cal. This is Tobin's daddy.
You want to get out of here? Come with me.
If you could get out, why are you still in?
I'm looking for my boy and my wife. They're lost in here, too. Look, it's going to be dark soon. We should stick together.
Becky looks apprehensive. She clutches her belly.
I understand. You don't know me from Adam. Ross Humboldt's the name. Real estate's the game. Poughkeepsie, wife's Natalie, boy's Tobin.
Becky, what's happening?
Becky keeps her eyes on Ross.
I'm all right, Cal. You can find my brother?
Your brother, I'll try. Yeah. Not like walking a straight line, though. Nothing is around here. Just follow me, but stay close. Whatever you do, don't lose sight of me, okay?
Okay.
Hang tight, Cal. We're coming for you.
Ross starts moving. Becky follows. Now, close-up of an insect crawling on a blade of grass. Then, a frog. Next, by the light of a full moon, an overhead view of the tips of the tall grass.
Becky! Becky!
Cal moves through the field.
Becky!
Cal looks exhausted. He stops and sits on the ground.
I'm never gonna find her.
You can find things.
Behind him, a boy.
But it's easier once they're dead.
The boy is holding a dead bird.
Tobin?
The field doesn't move dead things around.
Tobin crouches down and digs a hole in the dirt with his hands. He places the bird in the hole. Cal crawls over to him.
Tobin. Did you lure us in here? You can tell me. Okay? I won't be mad.
No. We heard someone yelling. A man. He was calling for help. That's how we got in. That's how it works.
How long have you been in here?
I'm not sure.
He starts to cover the bird with dirt.
Becky. Your sister. She's gonna die soon.
Cal stares at him. Close-up of dirt being sprinkled on the dead bird.
How do you know she's my sister?
The rock. The rock teaches you to hear the tall grass. The tall grass knows everything.
Then you must know where she is. Yeah.
I can find out for you. No. I can do better than that. I can show you.
He stands up.
Do you want to see her? Do you want to check on her? Come on, follow me.
Cal gets to his feet. As he follows Tobin into the grass, he glances back at the half-buried bird. The bird's eye moves. Now in the dark, Ross and Becky.
How far are you along?
Oh, 6 months.
Oh. I remember when Natalie was pregnant.
He stops and turns to her.
Those were the salad days. Enjoy it. Enjoy your baby because it goes fast.
Becky looks around nervously.
Oh. Dad not in the picture?
He wasn't ready for it.
Well, too bad for him.
Ross turns and resumes walking.
You know, family's everything. There's one thing I know for certain. It's that simple truth. Well, we better get going. The sooner we get to them, the better.
Becky follows him. Her foot lands on something and she stops and looks down. She sees a small travel bag. It is unzipped, its contents strewn about on the ground. She sees nail scissors, pill bottles, and nearby, a clump of long hair. Becky looks ahead into the darkness.
Ross? Hello? Hello? Cal? Are you out there? Cal? Cal!
A figure emerges right in front of her face. Then an aerial view of the field.
Tobin!
Cal moves forward.
Tobin, you gotta wait!
He shoves the grass aside.
Tobin!
Just a little further.
Wait, Tobin, wait up.
Tobin. Here it is.
Wait for me.
They arrive at a small clearing, revealing a massive black pod-shaped rock that is taller than the grass. Tobin runs up to it and touches the rough surface, a close-up of the hair on his arm standing up.
Boy, that feels good. Come on, Cal, try it.
Cal hesitates, then slowly approaches the rock. Stands a few inches from it and looks up at its size. It is a rounded obelisk which comes to a dull point at the top. Cal looks at the flat, rough surface of the rock. He slowly extends his hand towards the surface. Tobin watches in anticipation. The grass around them begins to move. The moon emerges from behind a cloud, and Cal almost touches the rock. Cal snaps out of his trance.
Becky!
Get away from me! Get away from me!
Sorry, Cal. Too late.
Becky!
Cal runs.
Wait! You'll never find her that way!
Aerial view.
Becky!
Cal runs deeper into the field.
Becky!
The view zooms out farther.
Becky! Becky!
The screen goes dark. Now, morning. The sun shines brightly in the sky. A pickup truck drives along a deserted road. Then it pulls in at a rundown gas station. The driver, a long-haired man in his 20s wearing a baseball cap, gets out and looks around. He smokes a cigarette. The door of the building opens. A woman steps outside. She looks at a no-smoking sign, then at the driver. He smiles apologetically and puts out the cigarette. He approaches the woman. He takes a photo of Cal and Becky out of his pocket and shows it to the woman.
I'm trying to find these two. Have you seen them?
Later, he drives on the deserted road, listening to the radio.
South breezes today, and we've certainly been warming up, and that is about to change as another cold front moves into the area.
He looks at a photo of Becky on his visor. As he drives, he notices a building out in the middle of the tall grass field. He drives past the small church and does a double take when he spots Cal's car in the parking lot. He stops the truck and stares out the window at the car. He backs into the parking lot. The weathered sign reads, "The Church of the Black Rock of the Redeemer." The driver gets out of his truck and approaches Cal's car. He peers through the driver's side window. He sees a moldy burger on the seat being ravaged by maggots. He walks around to the back of the vehicle and wipes a thick layer of dirt off of the license plate. He takes a few steps, looking across the street to the tall grass field.
Becky!
He turns and looks up at the church steeple. Next, he opens the door of the church. He slowly steps inside, and the door closes behind him. He walks down the aisle, past rows of unoccupied pews.
Becky?
Stained glass windows cast a green glow throughout the room. He approaches a door at the back of the bare altar. He pulls on the door handle. The door is locked. Next, the man exits the church. He lights a cigarette and scans the area. His eyes land on Becky's book, face down on the road at the edge of the field. He goes over and picks it up. He flips open the cover and sees Becky's name written on the first page. He looks at the tall grass in front of him. Next, a view of the church in the distance. The view moves down into the grass, where the driver is making his way deeper into the field. He is carrying a backpack. He takes a few more steps on the muddy surface, looking all around at the grass which surrounds him. He stops and looks up at the sun in the sky. He grabs a few stalks of grass and bends them, tying them into a giant knot. He leaves the knot in place and moves on, making sure the sun is in the same position. He stops and looks around.
Becky!
Later, he makes another knot out of grass. Once the knot is in place, he looks around, then resumes his search. The knot of grass slowly begins to untie itself. Then a close-up of a crow eating a bug. An image of the man wearing the baseball cap is reflected in the crow's eye. It flies away as the man approaches.
Becky!
He continues to push his way through the grass, following the sun, which is directly ahead. Suddenly, the man stops. The sun is no longer ahead of him in the sky.
What?
He slowly turns around to discover that the sun is now behind him. Later, nighttime, a full moon in the sky. The man in the baseball cap continues trudging through the grass. He arrives at a small clearing. He sits down, then lies on the ground, using his backpack as a pillow. He takes the photo of Becky out of his pocket and looks at it. Startled by the sound, he sits up. He turns towards the noise behind him, then crawls slowly towards it. He comes to the edge of the clearing. He separates stalks of grass with his hands and peers into the darkness. Seeing nothing, he closes the grass and turns around. Tobin is standing over him.
You okay?
Who are you?
Do you hear that?
Hear what?
Tobin turns his head. Around them, parts of the grass are waving as if they are being pushed by a strong breeze. Tobin turns back to the man.
Everyone else, if you don't pay attention, they go away.
Who do?
The people who are stuck in here, but they're not connected to us, so it doesn't matter.
We are connected?
Sure, because you know me.
No, I don't.
You don't remember?
Look, kid, we've never met before. I'm
Travis. Travis.
How do you know my name?
You're looking for Becky.
Travis scrambles up to Tobin.
You know Becky?
Of course.
Wait, how's that even... Who the hell are you?
Tobin.
Tobin?
You really don't remember?
Do you know where she is?
Tobin looks at the ground.
You do, don't you?
He grabs Tobin by the shoulders.
Hey, you gotta tell me! Tell me! Where is she? Look at me, where is she?
I can show you. But...
But what?
Are you sure you want to see her?
Of course, just...
Travis loosens his grip.
Please. Tobin.
All right. But you gotta stay close.
In the darkness, Tobin runs full speed through the grass. Travis follows. Tobin stops. Travis is right behind him. Tobin looks to his left.
There.
Becky?
Travis runs into the grass, shoving it aside.
Becky? Becky!
Tobin observes.
Becky. Becky.
Travis is standing over a body.
Becky.
The field doesn't move dead things. It makes him easier to find.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Help!
Travis looks around. Tobin is gone.
Tobin! Tobin!
The view zooms up and out, then blurs. Now morning, a reflection of the sun shining between blades of grass. The view rotates and zooms out. The reflection is revealed to be contained in a drop of dew on a blade of grass. A second drop merges with the first. The dewdrop rolls down the blade, then drips onto Travis's closed eye. Travis slowly opens his eyes and sits up. He slowly turns his head to the left. He sees Becky's body on the ground nearby. He crawls over to her and takes something out of her pocket. It is a necklace, a red and yellow lobster charm on a long chain. He holds it in his hands and looks at it thoughtfully. Next, an overhead view of Travis pushing his way through the thick grass. Inside the field, Travis moves slowly. He stops and looks up towards the sky.
Hello? Hello? Hey! Hey! I'm stuck in here! Help me! Help me! Tobin? Tobin, is that you? Tobin, it's Travis.
Tobin is standing in the church parking lot.
You don't remember me now?
Over there, Mommy. Do you hear him?
What? Where, honey?
In the grass.
A woman joins him.
He knows my name.
Are you sure?
It's okay, Freddy.
Nearby, Ross is on the phone.
We'll close when I get back early next week, okay? No, 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 no. I'm telling you, don't back out of escrow, okay? You're not overpaying.
Ross!
Just a minute, please.
Freddy!
Tobin chases the dog into the field.
Toby, stay close. Don't go in there. It's private property.
He went after Freddy.
They enter the grass.
Toby!
Tobin!
Toby, where are you?
Tobin! Freddy!
A few yards away, the view moves quickly between blades of grass. Travis.
Tobin! If you're still outside the grass, don't come back in here!
Tobin! Where are you? I'm over here, Mommy! Tobin.
Travis tries to pinpoint the direction of the voices.
Where are they? Over here! Are you Tobin's dad?
Yeah? Who are you? What's going on?
Don't come in here!
A little late for that, buddy.
Tobin!
Travis starts running.
Where are you, Tobin?
Ross and his wife.
I think I'm getting scared.
It's only a field. That guy, though, I'm not so sure about.
Toby, don't let that man get near you, okay? Don't talk to him. If you see him, you run.
I'm afraid, Daddy. Did you hear that? He went right by us.
Honey.
Toby!
He went the other way.
Tell me.
They separate.
Natalie! Natalie, wait! Natalie!
The view moves between blades of grass, then up to the bright sun in the sky. Day turns to night. Ross.
Help me! Natalie! Toby! Natalie! Okay, Rossi boy, hold it together. Stay positive, that's what's gonna get you out of this. It's gonna get you out of this. Mind that's light sells right.
He stops and hangs his head.
Fuck, you fucking kid. You can't listen.
He resumes his search.
You just fucking listen. Maybe if your mother acted like a mother for once, kept an eye on you. Tobin! Natalie!
Something catches Ross's eye. He moves the blades of grass aside and pushes forward. An overhead view reveals that just ahead, in a small clearing, is the giant rock. Ross enters the clearing and stares at the rock. Ross moves towards the rock. Screen goes dark. Now daytime, the sun shines between blades of grass, an overhead view of the field. The grass moves slightly as if stirred by a gentle breeze. The movement changes to a swirling pattern. A view from inside the field, up to the sun in the sky. Then a close-up of blades of grass. The screen goes white. Next, the view moves across the top of the field, the church in the distance. Cal and Becky are parked at the side of the road from the point of view of the church.
Sounds like he's really in trouble.
I've been trying to get to the road, but I can't find it!
Okay. Better haul him out.
Becky gets out of the car.
It's really hot.
Careful, don't slide down into that ditch. Watch it. I'm gonna pull this thing off the side of the road.
A view through a broken stained glass window of the church. Then, an overhead view as Cal moves the car off the street and into the parking lot. He parks behind Tobin's family's vehicle. Overhead view of Becky entering the field. A close-up of her face, then a sweeping aerial view of the field.
Where are you? Are you coming?
Now, within the field, Travis staggers through the grass. He stops and turns in all directions, looking dazed and exhausted. He looks up at the sky, then stumbles forward.
Becky?
He stops and listens.
Becky!
Travis runs.
Becky!
He stops.
Cal, are you in here?
Hello? Is someone else out there?
Becky, it's me, Travis!
Becky.
Travis?
I'm in here.
Cal.
What?
How the hell did you get here?
I don't know, but I'm here.
Why? Why the fuck are you here?
Travis.
I came looking for you.
But wait, how did you get here before us?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter now. You're here. We're all here. It doesn't matter.
Travis? Is that you?
Tobin? You okay?
My phone's ready. He's dead. Someone killed him.
Cal.
Who's Freddy?
My dog. His guts are all out.
Travis.
Tobin? Are you with Freddy now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, just stay where you are. Dad, don't move. We're gonna come to you. All right, just keep talking. You hear that, Becky?
Yeah, but we already tried that.
And it didn't work.
Well, this time I think it might. Follow Tobin's voice, okay? Tobin, start talking.
Like what Becky was doing?
Yeah. Yeah, just like that.
Travis starts moving.
There once was a man named McSweeney.
Cal and Becky also start moving. Tobin next to Freddy's body.
I forgot the next part. His weenie, and then slipped his girl a martini. What's a martini?
Travis finds Tobin.
It's a drink.
You're Travis?
Becky arrives from a different direction.
And that's a dirty rhyme, not for kids.
Becky and Travis see each other. Travis stares in disbelief. He looks at Becky's belly. Then Cal arrives. Cal and Becky embrace.
Becky!
Oh, he's dying!
It's okay. It's okay.
They all look at the corpse of the dog. Its belly has been ripped open.
What the fuck is going on? Phil.
Travis.
It doesn't move dead things.
It doesn't make any sense.
Name one thing in here that does.
So explain to us again how you got here.
I followed you.
You must have been right on our asses the whole way.
No, I came after.
After what?
After... You didn't show up in San Diego.
We just left 2 days ago.
No. No, it was longer than that. It was more like 2 months.
Now that really doesn't make any sense.
I think we have to focus on how the hell we get out of here.
Well, I'm not making Becky blindly walk through Wonderland anymore. We need some kind of plan.
Well, we can't just sit here. Are you okay?
Becky hunches forward.
Yeah, fine.
Becky turns and looks into the grass. Travis.
I think we have to get moving.
Yeah, you know, I agree. Let's just go.
Wait, in which direction?
I don't know! In any direction!
Why? What's the point?
The point is, I don't want to stay here. Someone is watching us. I can feel it.
They all look around. Travis turns to Tobin.
Tobin. Up on my shoulders.
Travis crouches down and Tobin gets on his shoulders. Then he stands and turns in a slow circle.
Okay. Did you see anything other than grass?
No. Just grass and more grass. Wait!
What?
I think I see something. It's a building, I think.
That church?
No, I can't tell. It's too far away.
Okay, which way is it?
That way.
Tobin points. Next, an aerial view of the field with grass stretching all the way to the horizon. Tobin's head is just above the grass as Travis carries him on his shoulders.
So you saw our car at the church, and you didn't call anybody?
No, Cal, I didn't. You still see it?
Getting closer.
I don't suppose you, told anyone where you were headed, did you?
No. Not that it will make much difference.
Somebody will look for us.
If your folks are worried sick, what could they do? You asked me. I don't think anyone's coming.
You did.
Travis turns and glances back at Becky.
Yeah, and everyone thought I was crazy for trying.
Becky takes her cell phone out of her pocket.
It's been a while since I checked.
She looks at the screen and sees static. She clutches her belly.
Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
They all stop walking.
Fine, just a kick, I think.
Is the baby coming soon?
Cal picks up the phone.
She's due in 3 months.
Travis looks at her belly.
She?
Yeah. Didn't want to wait to find out. Ginny is what I'm calling her. For now, anyways, after my great-aunt Virginia.
Ginny.
You don't like it?
No, it's cool. Old school.
Travis smiles.
Yeah, she's lively. Moves around a lot.
She takes Travis's hand and places it on her belly.
Wow. Lively is the word for it.
Yeah.
Cal looks at Travis suspiciously. They gather around Cal.
Hello?
Oh my God! Travis! Help me! How am I gonna keep making this same mistake?
Hello, who is this?
The screen reads unknown caller.
Hello, what's going on?
The line goes dead. Cal.
What the hell was that? One more reason to keep moving.
They look at each other, then resume walking. After they move on, the view moves behind them and into the grass. The view moves slowly between the stalks, deeper into the field. Then, the view zooms in closer and closer until a person's eye is revealed, watching from between the blades of grass. Several crows fly above the field. Now an overhead view. The grass shifts as Travis, Becky, and Cal walk in line. Travis is in the lead with Tobin riding on his shoulders. Tobin points, and they follow his direction. Now blurred and in slow motion, Becky walks in the field, her eyes half closed. Then various images appear in slow motion. First, a large blood stain on Becky's dress. A blade of grass brushes against her thigh. Her feet sink into the mud as she walks. Flies buzz around, landing on her lip, her ear, and her nostrils. Blades of grass graze her legs at the hem of her dress. Suddenly, she hunches over and grabs her belly. A trickle of blood appears down her leg. In slow motion, the crows descend and turn red. A cloud of red fills the sky. Becky is doubled over in pain. A view inside Becky's uterus. Blades of grass surround the fetus. Then a montage of images against a misty red background. A crow's face. The ground cracked and pulsating. A stick figure carving. Becky collapses. A view of the fetus surrounded by blades of grass. Then a blurred slow-motion view of Cal and Travis rushing towards Becky. Becky sees a flash of figures with grassy heads standing over her. The fetus becomes enveloped in grass. Now Ross arrives.
Becky!
Wake up, Beck!
Move!
Hey!
Move!
Hey! Wait!
Ross performs CPR. Becky revives.
No. It's okay.
Daddy!
Toby! Oh, thank God! Toby, thank God!
Oh. Ross hugs Tobin.
And the baby's moving.
Oh, it's probably just her condition and a touch of heat stroke, that's all. She's gonna be fine. We all are.
Travis.
You're Ross. You're Tobin's dad.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry. Your mother, she's out there. We're gonna find her, and then we're leaving. All of us.
Cal.
You found a way out?
I got to the road, but wasn't gonna leave without my family.
Travis.
How?
Well, it's not a straight line, I can say that much. Which way were you headed?
Towards that building.
Building?
We were almost there. Come here. All right, come on. Up on my shoulders, Tobin.
Tobin gets up on Travis's shoulders. Travis turns him 360 degrees.
It's gone.
Ross.
That's the way things work around here. But I got the golden ticket for any takers.
Later, nighttime. overhead view of the field. The view slowly zooms in to reveal the group on the move, led by Tobin and Ross. Travis is behind Ross, followed by Cal supporting Becky. Ross is singing.
Or the sheriff will grab you. The boys will bring you down. Next thing you know, boy, are you prison bound? Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me.
Travis.
That CCR?
Folk song originally. Let me guess, lead singer in a band? Four-piece with a weekly gig at the local?
Kinda.
I'm a good judge of people. You gotta be in my field. Field? Yeah, real estate's my game. We were on a little family vacay through the heartland. It's going pretty well until we ran into you.
Tried to warn you.
I'm just giving you a hard time, that's all. I know it's not your fault. Fate conspired. Isn't that always the way? You know, believe it or not, before I ended up here, before real estate was my game, played a mean guitar. A gospel band. Yeah. Me and my Gibson and Jesus were gonna rock the world. But, you know. Got married and had a kid, and those were the days, though. Still, nothing but nothing compares to this.
Ross pulls stalks of grass aside like a curtain to reveal the rock in the clearing. The five of them step into the clearing and stare up at the massive obelisk.
What the hell is it?
See for yourself.
Ross steps up to the rock. Cal moves closer and examines it.
There's carvings on it. They look really old. Those native?
I think it's a safe bet. It's been here since before the Kiowa hunted on the Osage Questas. Older than the hills. Probably was here before the glaciers came and carried the hills away. You realize we're in the center of the contiguous United States. Smack dab in the middle of the continent. Hazard, this stone is the center of the center.
We didn't come here for a goddamn sightseeing tour. You were gonna show us the way out.
Oh, darling, I have. You just have to look.
Ross reaches out and places his hand on the rock, his eyes on Becky. Tobin stares at him. Ross smiles and removes his hand. Cal.
Sarah. A map on it or something?
Just put your hand on it, and you'll know.
Travis.
What's that supposed to mean?
Cal studies the stick figures carved into the rock. He slowly raises his arm. Ross watches as Cal's hand moves closer to the rock.
Stop!
Natalie emerges from the grass.
Nat?
Mommy! Come here.
She hugs Tobin.
Oh.
I've been looking everywhere for you. Thank God you're all right.
Stay away. Stay away from us.
Natalie shields Tobin behind her.
Whatever he told you, whatever he said to you, he's lying.
What? What are you talking about?
You know.
All I know, all I care about, is that we're finally together. Everything's gonna be all right now, honey.
Natalie looks frightened.
Now what is it?
She is staring at Becky.
What is it, honey?
Saw her. She was what?
She was what? Just say it.
She wasn't alive. I saw her on the ground some ways back. I saw her, I'm sure I saw her.
Toby, Mommy's just a little confused right now. Why wouldn't she be? Days without food or water.
I am not confused. I saw her, and you
were gonna...
I was gonna what?
You're gonna hurt me.
Hurt you? How could you even think that?
Becky.
We're all in this together. We're like a family now. Right, Travis? We solid?
Travis and Cal are focused on Becky, who was hunched over. She has a vision of the grass-headed figures. They're interspersed with a vision of Ross, standing with his face and palms raised to the sky. The vision of Ross slowly lowers his head and opens his eyes. His eyeballs are white. Becky.
We have to go. We have to go.
The three of them start to back away. Travis.
Look, thanks for your help, mister, but I think we're gonna go our own way now. Do you wanna come with us?
Natalie nods and moves forward. Ross.
No, just a minute. Just hear me out. This rock, once you touch it, you'll know. It's like a whoosh. It's better than anything. It's like accepting the host. I know that sounds like blasphemy, but it's true. You think this is just chance? Folks are brought into the grass for a reason. We're all here because we've got stuff to work out. And this rock, in its wisdom, brought our two families together to do just that. All it's asking for is a little faith. Five little fingers on its face. And you will be redeemed. All your sins, all your trespasses, all your regrets will melt away and the world will open up like a flower. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. You gotta trust me on this.
Natalie and Tobin cling to each other fearfully. Travis.
I think you should let her go.
Ross turns and looks at Travis.
For what?
Suddenly, the grass becomes still. An overview of the field, then Travis.
You don't have the advantage here.
Is that a threat?
It's pretty simple math.
If you think I was doing the soft sell because I was afraid of going the other way, but you got another thing coming. It's better that you come to the rock on your own. Open your heart to it, like I did. Now, what I really want to know...
He turns back to Natalie.
...is how did you get here? Because the rock wouldn't let you find us unless it wanted you to. Unless this isn't about you. Right. I get it. This is about me.
Travis, Becky, and Cal look at each other.
Looking for the hard sell? Yeah. Sure, I'm game.
Travis!
Travis tackles Ross to the ground from behind. He punches Ross repeatedly, then looks at Natalie.
Go!
Ross elbows Travis in the face, drawing blood, then gets on top of him. Tobin screams. Ross flips Travis onto his stomach and pins him to the ground. Cal clings to Becky.
I'm no fibber. When you touch that rock, you'll know everything I know. Everything the grass knows, including how to leave. Only you won't want to.
He jerks Travis's arm. The grass starts moving again. Natalie releases Tobin, and he runs to Becky and Cal. Ross grabs Natalie before she can follow Tobin. He stands behind her and presses her head between his hands.
No! Don't worry, son. It's just flesh. And all flesh is grass.
The grass rustles violently as Ross squeezes Natalie's skull until it cracks. Her blood spatters onto his face. The others react in horror. Ross drops Natalie's lifeless body to the ground.
Go!
Travis struggles to his feet and joins the others. They take off running into the grass. Ross looks at his blood-covered hands and forms them into fists. He looks up at the rock triumphantly. They stop to catch their breath. Cal.
He's right, you know. Where are we gonna go?
Tobin's golden retriever appears.
Freddy!
Come on!
The dog joins the group and they resume running, Tobin and Freddy in the lead.
Come on! Help me!
They arrive at the mysterious building which Tobin spotted earlier, a dilapidated bowling alley. They enter.
Cal!
Cal helps Travis block the door with an old jukebox. Cal.
What are we gonna do? He'll find us. For sure he'll find us.
Listen to me.
Travis.
First thing we have to do is you need to take hold of my hand, okay?
It's okay, Tobin.
My daddy's right. We're grass. We keep dying and coming back. Like Freddy did.
One, two.
Cal jerks Travis's shoulder back into place.
Here.
Cal finds a chair for Becky to sit on.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Tobin clings to Becky.
I didn't know what to do.
You sure didn't.
Well, we wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for you.
Okay, blaming each other isn't gonna solve anything.
Well, all indicators are that there's no way to solve this. If we're just gonna go around and around in circles, I'll feel a lot better saying what we all know.
It's not that simple.
Are you forgetting the little detail that he completely abandoned you? That he totally threw you away? That he wanted you to abort your own baby?
Becky gets to her feet. She stands face to face with Cal.
Becky, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to what?
Look after me. Protect me. I need food. I need water. I need a place to sleep. What I don't need is any more brotherly love.
Cal turns away from her. Travis.
No. Cal's right. I was an asshole. And I made a mistake. A big one. But it's not the real reason you don't like me. Is it, Cal?
It's a good start.
No, it's a good excuse. But it's not the reason. You didn't want me around even before there was a baby. The truth is, there is nothing that I could have done to make you like me because no one is ever gonna be good enough for your little sister.
Someone with a high school diploma would be nice.
You know what? I'm not quite the fuck up that you think I am.
Oh, no. No, no. You're a real rock star. You've sacrificed everything for that ridiculous, infantile fantasy, and now we're all suffering for it.
And you're a real hero. Playing hubby to your little sister? Which is the next best thing to fucking her, which is what you really want, isn't it?
Cal punches Travis. They start fighting.
Stop it! Stop it!
They look towards the door.
Open up! Come on, this way!
Travis heads to the back, followed by Tobin. Cal helps Becky.
Come on!
They head through a door and up a flight of stairs. At the top, Travis pushes open a pair of ceiling doors and climbs through onto the roof. Tobin follows. Travis helps Becky out.
You okay? Come on, hurry!
Cal climbs out.
Get the door!
They close the double doors, and Travis shoves a wooden rod through the handles.
He's not gonna get through that without a sledgehammer.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Cal looks down over the edge.
What are we gonna do? We're stuck up here!
Now listen to me! When I drove here, I saw this building from the road.
We saw it too. Yeah, the church, it was just on the other side.
Becky clutches her belly.
Okay.
Cal rushes to her side.
Are you okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine.
Cal joins Travis at the edge. They look out into the darkness.
My God, there it is. Spitting distance. Only thing is, we go in that grass again and we're back to square one.
Travis sees the dog in the deserted parking lot below.
Freddy? Fucking dog gives me the creeps.
They watch as Freddy enters an archway of tall grass. He disappears.
Where'd he go?
Travis climbs up to a higher roof level. Cal joins him and they scan the area.
There! On the road!
They see Freddy heading for the church. Travis looks down.
Oh. There's a hole.
A way out? You think that's it?
Maybe. We're not there yet.
Travis loses his footing. Cal saves him by grabbing his shirt as he goes over the edge. Close-up of Cal's face. Then, in slow motion, he releases his grip. A look of shock on Travis's face as he falls to the ground. Cal backs away. When he turns around, he sees Tobin standing on the lower roof. Cal climbs down and approaches him.
Tobin. Tobin, I...
Let the midnight special
Tobin runs away. Cal sees Ross on the edge of the roof.
Becky, we've got to get out of here.
He removes the rod and opens the doors.
Where's Travis?
He's coming.
Tobin climbs down the stairs, then Becky. Cal looks over at Ross.
Holes are everywhere, Calvin, my boy.
Cal quickly climbs into the stairwell. Ross raises his arms.
Life's full of them!
Next, Tobin runs across the parking lot, followed by Cal, who is supporting Becky.
Tobin, come back! Travis!
We have to keep moving.
We can't just leave.
I'll come back for him, but we have to get you out. I found a way. It's right there.
The grass archway.
Travis!
We're so close.
Travis!
Beck, I'm your brother, and I'm telling you right now to forget about that asshole.
Becky stares at Cal. She takes a step back.
Did you do something?
Beck, I love you.
Get away from me.
She heads into the field.
Beck, wait. Beck, please. Please, Beck.
Ross puts his hand on Cal's shoulder.
I thought that you would lose your sister when you got out of here. That the baby would bring her and Travis together. You'd be left out in the cold. You're probably right on that score. Your mistake is thinking you're ever leaving.
Ross grins. Cal takes off running at full speed through the grass. Ross is not far behind. Ross ducks into the grass behind Cal, then reappears, cutting Cal off, tackling him, and pinning him to the ground.
Oh, I'm impressed. Yeah. Of course, I was a bit of a track star back in the day.
Played some ball, too.
I know.
You're thinking, if you just turn left instead of right, you could have gotten away from me. But you did go left, and you turned right, and you kept running, didn't turn at all. But here, in the garden of forking paths, you didn't make any one choice. You made every choice, and they all led back to me.
Cal turns his head to the side and sees himself lying dead on the ground. He screams. Ross moves his hands to Cal's throat and chokes him. The view slowly moves away to reveal the other dead Cal, next to a collection of more bodies in various stages of decay. Back at the bowling alley, the view slowly zooms in to Travis, lying on a pile of debris next to the building. He regains consciousness.
Becky.
He moves his head.
Becky!
With difficulty, he rolls onto his side. Next, Travis wanders through the field.
Becky! Becky!
Elsewhere, Becky lies on the ground holding her belly.
Becky!
Travis!
You okay?
I'm scared. Travis, where are you? What happened?
Your brother.
Travis slowly sits down.
I think he loves you a little too much. But this isn't his fault. I did this. I had my chance with you, and I threw it away. Whatever happens, I want you to know I'm glad you didn't listen to me. I'm glad you kept Jenny. Becky?
There's some. There's something I didn't tell you. I was gonna give her up. I got scared. I didn't think I was ready to be a mom. That's why we were going to San Diego. There was a family there.
You don't want that anymore?
What difference does it make now?
We're gonna get out of here. I'm gonna find a way. Our baby deserves to live.
She's a strong one. I have feel her kicking.
Travis reaches out into the grass.
I wish I could just touch your hand.
It's right here.
Becky reaches out. Then a close-up of the blades of grass. Becky's and Travis's fingers almost touch.
Becky!
Get away from me!
Becky, what's going on?
Ross is holding Becky from behind. He drags her into the grass.
Not funny. This is where I tussled with Natalie for the first time. I tried to show her the way, but she just wouldn't listen.
Becky pulls keys out of her pocket and tries to stab him, but Ross grabs her wrist and she drops the keys. He turns her around to face him and pulls her close.
You want to touch the rock, darling?
He whispers in her ear.
You want to lie on it naked? I want to feel me in you? Beneath the pinwheel stars while the grass sings our names. It's poetry, huh?
He lowers her to the ground.
Blood is nice. But tears are better for an old thirsty rock like that. It has to be quick, though. Don't want to do it in front of the kid.
Becky sees nail scissors on the ground nearby. She grabs them and jams them into Ross's eye. He rolls off of her. Becky crawls away on her hands and knees. Next, lightning flashes. Raindrops fall in slow motion, landing on the blades of grass. The slow-motion rain falls onto the ground, turning the soil to mud. Slow-motion close-up of Becky's feet as she walks in the mud. Lightning flashes illuminate Becky as she pushes her way through the grass. She stops and hunches over, clutching her belly. She slowly raises her head and looks at the grass. Close-up of Becky's face, then a flash of lightning illuminates the grass in front of her. Becky looks frightened. She starts backing away. She whirls around. One of the grass-headed creatures from her vision is behind her. She turns again. She is surrounded by the creatures. She slaps the face of one of the creatures. In a flash of light, she sees that its face is just a swirl of grass. The creatures close in on her. Next, they carry Becky horizontally above their heads. Overhead view of the undulating, pulsing field. As lightning flashes, Becky's horizontal body is fully engulfed by the grass. Next, close-up of Becky's wet hair as she gently floats down to the ground. She lies in the mud on her back, her arms stretched out on either side, her eyes closed. Becky opens her eyes and puts a hand on her belly. She is lying in a clearing. She struggles to roll onto her side. In the next flash of lightning, she sees that the large rock is right in front of her. Close-up of blades of grass, waving and rustling in the rain. Becky props herself up on one elbow, then takes her cell phone out of her pocket and makes a call.
Hello? Listen to me! Don't let go! Hurt Travis! Don't leave him! Just stay with him! Or else we're gonna keep making the same mistake.
Hello? Who is this? What's going on?
She drops the phone and falls onto her back, clutching her belly. A flash of lightning reveals a crew drawing on the rock of figures carrying a pregnant woman. Becky sits up. She quickly pulls off her underwear. The next flash reveals a drawing of a woman giving birth. Becky breathes quickly in and out, then she grabs handfuls of mud as she experiences another contraction. The next flash of light reveals a drawing of a figure holding a baby over their head, while others look on with raised arms. The ground near Becky begins to shift. A close-up of the grass, then a massive gaping hole appears at her feet. After the next contraction, she sits up and looks down into the hole. The contents of the hole are revealed in intermittent flashes of lightning. At first, it appears to be an intricate root structure. The view moves deeper into the hole. The flashes of light reveal human skeletons. Then, even deeper, a mass of moving, intertwined bodies. Dozens of arms reach up from the hole towards Becky. She rolls over and starts to crawl away from the hole until another contraction forces her to stop and lie on her back. The scenes flash quickly between the bodies in the hole, the drawings on the rock, the undulating grass, and Becky in labor, finally ending with a view from the ground looking up at the large rock. One more flash of lightning, then the screen goes white. Now a blurred close-up of Becky's face. Her eyes flutter open. She looks up and sees a full moon in the sky. Drops of water drip from a blade of grass and land in a puddle. A blurred view of Becky's hand stroking her belly.
Baby.
Cal is kneeling next to her, shirtless. He squeezes water from a cloth into Becky's mouth.
No, not too fast. I don't want you to get sick.
It's okay. My baby.
I've got her. She's right here.
A blurred view as Cal picks up a tiny baby wrapped up in his shirt.
Isn't she great?
He shows her to Becky.
Out of the oven and baked just right.
Becky smiles.
Aren't you the Mother Mary? I wonder when the wise men will come. I wonder what gifts they'll have for us.
Becky's smile fades. She stares blankly, then closes her eyes. The view blurs into a close-up of water dripping into a small puddle. Becky's eyes open slightly. Cal.
There once was a farmer from Leeds who swallowed a bag full of seeds. Big bunches of grass.
Becky eats from Cal's hand.
Sprouted out of his ass. And his balls. They're all shaggy with weeds.
Blurred close-up of Becky's eyes.
What is that? We're made.
Grass. It's just grass. And seeds. And so on.
Cal smiles.
Cows do it all the time.
Now blood drips into the puddle. Underwater view of blood entering the water. Then a dark, blurred close-up of Cal feeding Becky.
Here's another piece. Mm-hmm. It's good for you. It's good for your soul.
He shoves something into her mouth.
You ate it all.
Cal smiles.
That's a good girl.
Becky.
Just like...
The moonlight illuminates Becky's face.
Like what?
There was blood all over her mouth.
Like...
She sees bloody flesh on the ground.
Like...
Cal has turned into Ross.
You.
Overhead view of the field. The grass is still. The grass moves, indicating Travis's path.
Becky!
The overhead view reveals he is running at full speed. Then, inside the field, Travis shoves the stalks of grass aside. He stops and looks around. He has arrived at the rock in the clearing.
Becky?
He stumbles over to Becky and kneels down beside her. Becky lies on her back, her eyes closed. Travis gently touches her neck, checking for a pulse.
Baby.
Her eyes remain closed. There's a smear of blood at the corner of her mouth. Travis gently touches Becky's soft belly.
Oh, no. Oh.
Oh, he puts both hands on her belly.
Please, no.
My daddy killed the baby.
Tobin stands nearby.
I know he did. I found Cal. He killed him too. This is never gonna stop. He's gonna keep killing us over and over and over again. And it's never gonna stop.
Travis goes over to Tobin. He crouches down and pulls Tobin in, holding him close.
I'm not gonna let him hurt you.
He's watching us right now.
A view from inside the grass as Travis separates from Tobin. Travis stands up and faces the grass.
You out there, Ross? Why hide? Huh? If you want to finish us, then just do it already! I'm here! You see? I'm waiting!
Travis!
Ross hits Travis from behind.
No. I don't see. Your honey took my eye out.
He kicks Travis.
But you know what? Eyes are deceiving around here. I'm better off without it.
He kneels on Travis's back and shoves his face into the mud.
Dad!
The grass starts moving. Ross yanks Travis up by the hair.
Too bad, kid. I liked you. Saw a seat of myself in there.
He shoves Travis's face back into the mud.
Dad, no!
Travis manages to flip over. He kicks Ross away, then scrambles to his feet. Ross knocks him back down. Ross shoves his arm deep into the ground and pulls up a handful of mud.
No, Dad, no!
He shakes off the mud, revealing a broken human bone.
All I wanted was to help you find redemption.
He strikes Travis with the bone, then stabs him in the abdomen with a broken end.
God knows
you're the one who needed it the most. Maybe next time.
Ross pulls the bone out of Travis's belly. Travis collapses to the ground.
Travis!
Ross turns to Tobin.
Ready for yours?
Tobin backs up, then turns and tries to run. Ross grabs him.
No!
He carries Tobin over to the rock.
Gorgeous, isn't she?
No!
It wants you to touch it. This field needs it. More than the rain. It's so easy, son. Redemption is so very, very easy.
Suddenly, Becky whirls Ross around and stabs his good eye. He drops Tobin. Now blind, Ross waves his arms frantically, trying to lash out at Becky. Becky passes out. Her hand opens to reveal her lobster necklace. Then Travis attacks Ross. He grabs him and slams his head into the rock repeatedly. Blood stains the drawings. Travis and Ross tumble to the ground and grapple in the mud. Ross tries to pin Travis down, but Travis gets on top of him and pummels him relentlessly. The grass rustles and shakes. Travis yanks a stalk of grass out by the roots and uses it to strangle Ross.
I'm not coming back here! And neither are you!
Ross struggles against Travis's hold, trying to push him towards the grass. The view moves in a slow 360-degree rotation around the perimeter of the clearing. It moves from Travis and Ross to the unconscious Becky, then to Tobin standing, then to the massive rock under the full moon, then back to Travis and Ross.
Ah! 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 Ah!
Travis uses every ounce of his strength to strangle Ross. Finally, Ross stops struggling. His body goes limp. Travis lets go of the stalk of grass. Ross's body slumps to the ground. Close-up of Ross's blood-soaked face and eye sockets. Travis is also covered in blood and dirt. He catches his breath, then stumbles over to Becky. Tobin stands nearby, looking stunned. A view from the grass as Travis checks Becky's neck for a pulse. He picks up Becky's limp body and cries. He holds her close. Travis gently lays Becky's body back on the ground. He slowly turns and looks over his shoulder at the rock through squinted eyes. He stands up and starts to move towards it. Tobin blocks his way.
Travis, don't! Don't! No, no, no!
Travis pushes past him.
No! If you touch it, you'll never leave!
Travis stares at the rock. He slowly moves his hand towards it, then presses his palm to the surface. A thick red cloud erupts from the crest of the rock, then the entire sky glows red. Blades of grass curl around Travis's hand. Inside his body, blades of grass envelop his beating heart. The rock is pulsating beneath Travis's hand. Close up of Travis's eye, it closes, then opens. Then an overhead view of the field. The view zooms out farther and farther. Bright orange pathways spread out from the rock in all directions. Travis removes his hand from the rock. The red glow is gone. It is once again dark. Travis slowly turns around and looks at Tobin.
Travis?
Travis takes a step towards Tobin. Tobin looks at him fearfully and starts to back away.
Follow me.
Tobin takes off running into the grass. Travis follows him. When he catches up, he takes Tobin by the arm. Travis pulls Tobin along, then they stop. Travis turns to Tobin.
I'm not leaving.
He picks up Tobin's wrist and forces his hand open.
You.
He drops the lobster necklace into his hand and closes it.
You don't belong here. Neither does Becky.
He grabs Tobin's shoulders and looks him in the eye.
Don't let them in.
He picks up Tobin and puts him back down. Tobin is now standing on a wooden floor.
Don't let them in, Tobin.
Tobin looks around and discovers that he is inside an empty wooden shed. He approaches a closed door. He slowly lifts a bolt and slides it open, then carefully pushes the door open, his eyes wide. The view from the other side reveals that the door leads to the inside of the church. Sunlight through the stained glass windows casts a green glow throughout the room. Tobin enters and slowly walks down the aisle towards the front door of the building. Tobin looks to the right and left. His eyes are wide with fear. Slowly, he steps closer and closer to the door. He arrives at the door and pushes it open. Outside, the sun is shining. Tobin can see his family's car in the church parking lot. Cal and Becky's car is parked across the street, alongside the field.
Help! Hello? Someone out there? Help!
Inside the car, Becky.
Sounds like he's really in trouble.
Cal.
Okay. Better haul him out.
No! Don't go in there!
Tobin comes running from the church.
Wait! No!
He tries to block Becky.
Don't go in there! Stay away from it! Stay away! Are you okay?
Help! Wasn't he just... Didn't we hear him?
They look into the grass.
No! Don't listen to him! Get back in the car! You have to go!
Hey, where are your parents?
It doesn't matter! Please, we just have to go!
Okay,
get in the car!
Well, what do we do?
I mean, it sure sounds like he's in trouble.
No! No! No, don't let him go in! If he goes in, you'll go in and you'll never get out! Please!
Tobin hands Becky the chain with the dirty lobster charm. Becky compares it to the clean one in her other hand. Cal peers into the grass.
Help me!
Where did you get this?
Travis?
Cal takes a step into the field.
Cal, wait! Get back here right now.
Cal returns to Becky.
Look.
She shows him the two necklaces.
He said he got this from Travis.
Travis?
I'll explain later, I promise. But right now we have to go, please.
Becky falls against the car.
Hey, are you okay?
We have to go.
What about the kid?
Becky raises her head and looks into the grass.
It's not right about this. We need to leave.
Please.
All right, get in.
Tobin gets into the back seat. Cal closes the door, then goes around to his side. Becky stares into the grass.
Help me!
A view of the car from inside the field.
Please, don't leave!
Cal and Becky get into the car. Inside, Becky puts on her seatbelt. Tobin looks out the window anxiously. Becky turns and looks at Tobin.
It's okay. It's gonna be okay.
Cal starts to pull away.
Wait!
What?
Let's take him to Topeka. Find a police station.
That's back the way we came.
Yeah, I know.
I thought we said we were gonna go on.
I should have never left.
Are you sure? What about that family in San Diego?
Becky looks down and strokes her belly.
I have my own family now.
Tobin continues to look out the window at the field. Cal makes a U-turn and heads back down the road, away from the church. The view moves across to the field and then down into the grass. It quickly moves between the tall stalks, revealing a filthy and bloody Travis, standing and staring as if in a trance. Travis smiles slightly, then drops to the ground, landing on his back. A view looking up through an opening in the blades of grass at the blue sky. Now looking down at Travis from above, the view zooms out. Stalks of grass move to close the opening, concealing Travis from view. The grass moves and sways rhythmically, then becomes still. The screen goes dark. In the background of the credits, there are x-ray views of growing blades of grass, bones, and blood vessels. Credits, written and directed by Vincenzo Natali, based on the novella by Stephen King and Joe Hill, produced by Stephen Hoban, Mark Smith, Jimmy Miller, and M. Riley. Executive producers, Gloria Fan, Jonathan Levine, and Vincenzo Natali. Edited by Michelle Conroy. Music by Mark Korv. U.S. casting by Chelsea Alice Block, CSA. Canadian casting by John Buchan, CSA, and Jason Knight, CSA. Cast: Harrison Gilbertson as Travis, Laisla de Oliveira as Becky, Avery Whitted as Cal, Will Buey Jr. as Tobin, Rachel Wilson as Natalie, and Patrick Wilson as Ross. Netflix presents a Mosaic production, a Copper Heart Entertainment production, a Vincenzo Natali film, title, In the Tall Grass. Midnight Special, written by John C. Fogerty, performed by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever-loving light on me. Yonder come Miss Rosie. How in the world did you know? By the way she wears an apron and the clothes she wore, umbrella on her shoulder, piece of paper in her hand.
Copyright 2019, Netflix US LLC. All rights reserved. Logos, Mosaic and Copperheart Entertainment.
The red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.